morning, church. Thank you, Ileana, for this prayer. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be with you this morning. I've been very blessed by the worship service over the past few weeks, plural. I just every time I partake in it, I just feel the presence of God has been made evident to us in increasing measure, Sunday after Sunday. At least that's the way I've been experiencing it. Do I get an amen? I mean, you don't have to say amen, but if that is true for you, you can say amen to that.
Amen.
Because, you know, we've been praying. A lot of us have been praying. I know Pastor Stephen, Pastor Sonia, they've been praying. Many of us, Ileana's been praying. I've been praying, Stania's been praying, and the Lord never ceases to make himself known, and I thank him for that. Now, I have a task this morning. As you know, we've been in a series on the life of the church, in a sense. You can look at it from a broad standpoint, calling it the life of the church. And the only reason I'm just using this little nuance is so I can facilitate my introduction. If you've been a Christian for a while, and even if you're a new Christian, the core elements of Christian gathering are all too familiar to you. At least by now, you would know what starts look like and what middle looks like and what end looks like. And if you don't, you need help. And sometimes, you know, for us preachers, it may be very difficult to preach or teach on a subject that people are already familiar with. I don't know if you see what I mean. It's like bringing sin to the beach or bringing water to the ocean. You can't add any more to it. So every time I am given the task of talking about something that is familiar to people, that's exactly how I feel like. It's like I'm bringing sin to the beach. But there's something special, church. There's something special about reminding yourself or someone else of something that is already known. Now, why do you suppose the flight attendants take us through the safety protocol every time we take a flight on a plane, no matter how many times you've been on a plane? Why do you think they do that? It's not for show. It's not because they kind of want you to hear their voices or they want you to listen to the recording. You know, one of the main reasons why they do that is because repetition burns things into our subconscious. It burns things into our subconscious so that when you are faced with a crisis, you may know what to do. So you may be able to relate to you may be able to differentiate, rather, between correct versus incorrect actions, safe versus unsafe behaviors. We get reminded of things we already know because the act of reminding helps bring back to life the very things that can easily be forgotten. Reminding, church, helps us put back together things that can be easily overlooked, and consequently, things that have been dismembered due to time, due to other experiences. So as you live your life, the life of the church, things will be dismembered in your psyche. Things will be forgotten because of time. So you need constant reminding so that you can bring the members back together. That's why reminding is important. So that's why I am going to share what I'm about to share with you. And that gives me great hope, because you won't get bored through it. Because you've heard the very things that I'm about to share. You've heard them before. But it bears repeating. It bears talking about. Because things get lost over time. Things get dismembered over time. So in other words, the more time passes, And the more we experience life, the more likely it is that we will forget the things that matter most. Now, how do we overcome that? Through reminders. Now, one thing you've learned through Pastor Stephen over the past few weeks is that he's used the word ecclesia to refer to church. You've heard of the word church before. And you remember what he said about it? He said that the word ecclesia, one of the things he said, is that that word refers to not just religious gathering. It could be referred to any kind of gathering, right? So now, if the Bible uses that word ecclesia to mean any kind of gathering, what will distinguish any kind of gathering from this gathering? What makes this gathering so special that it becomes obviously different from any kind of gathering? Because they, at the end of the day, they're both the same word. For this, I want to give you three things, three elements, 3 points that sets apart the kind of gathering that we have right now. So today, I want to talk to you from the subject of what happens when we gather together. What happens when we gather together? So here are the 3 points I'm going to talk to you about. First thing that happens, you can even call it the 3 transactions that take place when this kind of gathering, the gathering of the saints, the gathering in the name of Jesus, when this kind of gathering takes place, there are 3 main transactions scripture talks about. One is the transaction of building. Second, it is the transaction of bonding. Third, it is the transaction of bearing witness. Building, bonding, and bearing witness. Are we all together on this? Building, bonding, and bearing witness. Let's talk about the first one. Building. Now, there are 2 types of building that take place in Scripture. So I'm going to take you to a series of Scriptures today. And my hope is that the Lord will use the reading of His very Word as the way to prepare us, as a way to anoint our minds, as a way to open our ears to what He wants us to learn. So there we have it. Here's the first one. The first type of building that happens is the building of one another. Building up of one another. Look at that. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. And I like this passage. Why don't we look at it together? And I've put in bold font some words in this text. The emphasis is mine, not the NIV text itself, but so that you can see what I'm trying to highlight. 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together?" Right? It's talking about gathering together. "When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be what? Built up." See that? Let's look at another scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Again, building up one another. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead," what? "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's another thing that happens of us building one another up. Here's a third one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through" what? "Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Now, I don't know if you've observed what I've observed. All these passages, what are the themes in the passages that we emphasize, that we just read? Do you notice something? What gets repeated in all 3 of them?
Psalms.
Psalms? Hymns? Building up, right? Gratitude, exactly. Isn't it interesting that all of them talk about the same thing when it comes to building each other up? But there's another thing that really caught my attention. It's the role of music when it comes to building each other up. Wait a minute. We're building each other up to songs, hymns, and then spiritual songs, making music. I mean, Paul is being very explicit about the things that he uses to refer to what builds up the church when we get together. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, make music, gratitude in our hearts, thanksgiving. Now, church, let me pause for a moment and talk about the challenges that churches often face when they're developing, particularly when churches are trying to become multi-ethnic. About 4 years ago now, I wrote a chapter in a book to talk about the multi-ethnic church in America. You know, one of the things I discovered in my research was churches love preferences. They love specific preferences. But you know what they fight over the most? Oh, exactly. Wow! The music is what they fight over the most. By the way, some groups, they like to clap on the ones and the threes. Amen, church? Other groups, they clap on what? On the twos and the fours. All the ones going to heaven, clap on. Right? Some groups prefer acoustic guitar. Other groups prefer what? Piano and the bass. Amen? We put emphasis on certain things, don't we? But what do we see Paul referring to here? Is he referring to the manner in which we clap? Is he referring to the type of instruments that need to be used? No. But the emphasis he's putting on is very clear. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs, gratitude, revelation from the Lord. These are the things that build up a church. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are from. It doesn't matter what culture you are from. So long as there are songs, there are hymns, there are spiritual songs, the Spirit of God is speaking, the church is being built.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. And by the way, you thought these churches in Corinth and Colossae were of one ethnic group? No. These were very, very multi-ethnic communities. But the Spirit of God, through Paul, indicated that this is the way it's done. It's not going to be clapping on ones or twos or ones and threes or two or fours. It's going to be all of it. But what really undergirds the building up of my people when they get together is so long as there are psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, revelation. But no. What is so special about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? You know, I'm glad you asked. Do you realize that in the Psalms, there's something very peculiar about the book of Psalms? Now, if you say, man, yeah, what is in the book of Psalms? I haven't read that in a long time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's something very special about the book of Psalms. Here's my summary of the entire Psalter. The book of Psalms always take into account your feelings and your emotions. At the same time, the Psalms never leave you in your emotions.
Amen.
They always take you to where you need to be spiritually.
Amen.
It will start with the way you're feeling. It will end with God. It will start with the misery that you walked in, but it will give you Jesus at the end. It will start with the way the week went,
But it will end with the hope that you have in Christ. That's the way the songs work. That's why now Paul is saying, well, this is how you're going to be built up. You are going to walk in with the way you're feeling. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny your humanity. But at the same time, I'm not going to leave you in it. So the songs that build the church up are the songs that can do just that. And that's why the Christianity that says, well, we can't bring to the Lord the way we're feeling is just giving you half the cookie. And so is the Christianity that tells you that, you know, we can't just focus on the heaven and be exclusive about it. Well, that's just half the cookie also. You need both. Because we're grounded right here on earth, and we're going through life right here on earth. But we need hope for tomorrow. So that's what the Psalms do. But what about hymns? Now, hymns, if you've been in church for quite some time, you know, remember in the days we used to have the hymn books? Yeah. Now I just looked them up online. You know? But they're great. They're wonderful, though. They're wonderful. I love hymns. If we could sing hymns, I'll be happy. But guess what? I'm not the only type of Christian that comes to this church. Say glory to God. Hymns, by the way, you know what? You know the word there, the Greek word there, is hymnos, right? It refers to giving honor to God. That's actually what the word hymn is. It is about praising God, giving honor to Him. So, the Psalms, you see that? The Psalms will take into account the way you're feeling. The hymns will make sure that God gets the glory He deserves. So, if the church is going to be built, and that building is us building one another, it'll take into account the way you're feeling, but it'll make sure that God gets the first place. God is still at the center of it all. So here's the formula, church. Here's the formula the Apostle Paul is giving us when it comes to being built together, building one another. If, number one, if we learn to acknowledge our humanity and learn to convey appropriate emotions through the Psalms, and if we learn to always give glory and honor to God, and celebrate Him at all times, and if we learn to partake in the supernatural, that's the third component, by sharing what? Spiritual songs, not any kind of songs, spiritual songs, spiritual revelation with one another, then, the Bible says, we will be building one another up. You see the formula, church? You get the Psalms, the hymns, and the special revelation from the Lord. Just like, you know, the Lord spoke to Elena earlier. Those are the sort of things that help build the church up. Paul is referring to tongues here and interpretation, but revelation in general are the things that the Lord want happen in the service. And you add to it, right? The Psalms, the hymns, and all of that stuff. That's what will build the church up. That's what will help us build each other up. So which means if these things are active, you will always walk out of here feeling strengthened, feeling encouraged, always. Always. If the church is doing these things, embracing these things, the Lord is saying, you will build each other up in the faith. So was it about the way we clap? Was it about our ethnic background? No. Are these things necessarily wrong? No, they're not necessarily wrong. But they're not the essentials. The essentials are what Paul was saying. So that's part one of building each other up. So remember I told you there are 3 points. So when we get together, there are 3 transactions that happen. The first transaction is the transaction of building. And part one of building is what? Building one another up. Now, here is part two of building. Part two of building is being built up. So part one of building is we're building one another. We're encouraging one another. But part two now is that we are being encouraged, or we are being built up. Here's what Paul says now about this in 2 Timothy. So I'm going to take you to two passages in 2 Timothy to make this point. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So when we gather together, preaching is going to take place. But here's another point Paul is making in that same book. All scripture, now since the preaching of the text, all the preaching of scripture is taking place, and that's what's building us up, right? We're being built up through that. Now, all scripture is what? Is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, say it with me. Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we are being built when we gather together. How? Through preaching. To preaching what? The scriptures. Not my opinion. I used to say this a lot, and I still say it, and I pray that I'll continue to say it. I don't have a sermon until I have a text. There is no sermon without the text, because that's what builds us up. There's too much opinion out there. I'm not interested in your commentaries. I'm not interested in your opinion. I may be interested in what you think the text says, so long as you're exegeting the passage right. But first and foremost, the sermon is from the text. Unless the Lord says, here is the word. Unless there is a word from the Lord, there is no sermon. Yes. Is there a word from the Lord? That ought to be the question every time we get together. Because that's what's building us up. We're building each other up, all right, through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs and revelation, all that. But we're being built up because the Lord has given us his word through all scripture. That is then manifested to the preaching, to the pulpit ministry. And that's why it's important to pray for your pastor. For your pastors. Wink, wink. Because their work is to build you up. But I like this passage because look at, what is the purpose now of preaching the scriptures? What is the purpose according to this passage? Exactly, so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have too many half-baked Christians. Do we have too many Christians who can't even articulate the theology for the work that they do in life? But what's lacking is that you've not been taught. You've not been instructed. You've not been corrected. Then now you can articulate why you do what you do from Jesus' perspective. That's why preaching matters. That's why preaching the scriptures matters. But preaching the scriptures also does something else, because you are transferring God's revelation, God's word, God's very essence to people. It's like a farmer who goes out casting, broadcasting, sowing seed, right? And they land, they're landing everywhere. And then if they land on the good soil, they will bear fruit. That's what preaching does. God is sending to his word, to the scriptures, to the preacher, his word to you. And then it's being broadcasted out to you, and then it's landing in your life. Now, if it lands on good soil, one day, sooner or later, it will bear fruit. You will be thoroughly equipped for whatever will come your way. You would have been trained for it. Preaching is the calisthenic workout that you need. If you all don't know what calisthenic workout is like, then check it out online on YouTube. That's what preaching does. It helps you develop the muscles that you need. That's what preaching the scriptures do to us as a church. It helps us develop the kind of character that we need, the kind of mind that we need. We need to learn to think Christianly about things. But what will get us that, other than all scripture is for what? For teaching, for rebuking, for correcting. Churches are confused about certain things because the world is confused about a lot of things. Why? Because
preaching the scriptures is absent. But the moment preaching is present, the confusions go away. They really do. Because it's not that the scriptures are so complicated. Yeah, of course, they made us go to like seminary for 3 years. Well, you know, you get my point. It's not that, you know, you can't understand it. This is what I mean. It's within reach. But when it is absent, we lose out. We no longer get built up. Then what, you know, God has assigned for each and every one of us Christians a work to do, an assignment to do, that we need to grow tall enough to be able to do. But until and unless we've been trained, we've been thoroughly equipped for it, we will never be able to do it. But what will get us there? The preaching. Is the preaching. And that's why it's important for us as a church, as for you as Christians, for those of you listening to this message, to consider who you sit under. Whose teachings, whose preaching are you following? Because it's so available. It's out there. But is it building you up? Are you being thoroughly equipped for every good work? Because not all work is good, by the way. You notice that? Not all work is good and not all fights are good. There are two goods that Paul mentioned. I finished the good fight because not all fights are good. Some people get into fights that are not worth it. Paul says, I finished the good fight. But not all work is good. It may be bringing money. It may be bringing all kinds of things in your life. It may look good, but it doesn't mean it's good. You need to be equipped for the good work. The good work is what will help you distinguish what matters in life versus what doesn't matter. The trivialities, the nonsensical things, the shallow stuff. Preaching is what will get you there. Teaching of the scriptures. I'm grateful for Pastor Stephen, aren't you? Because he does his work. If he didn't, besides God getting on him, I think Sonia would have gotten on him. Right? But yeah, we ought to be grateful for that. Because we need it. That's how we get built up. But now I need to get moving. I could say a lot more about this first point. So when we get together, what's the first thing that happens? We're being built up, right? Building, that's the first transaction. And there are two types of things that happen in that transaction. We are building one another up, and then the second one is we are being built up. Here's the second point. The second point now is we are bonding. We're bonding together. Now, you and I, we're going to go through this in just a few minutes. Pastor Stephen will lead the communion table in a few minutes. This passage here is, Paul is referring to the Lord's Supper. Let me bring a few elements into focus real quick. So this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Paul is saying, in the first place, I hear that when you come together, again, you see, when you gather together, when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper you eat? For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. The passage is much longer than this. I just couldn't fit it on one slide. But what Paul is correcting in this passage is when the Corinthians church used to gather together, they would just mistreat the Lord's Supper. They would mistreat that particular sacrament that the Lord instituted for his church. And he's saying, well, some people would just not care at all about the fact that they need to eat with somebody else. They went ahead and ate by themselves. You see that? So when you come together, you know, some of you, when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers.
as if the rest of the church didn't matter. Jesus is saying, I am putting this thing together so that you may eat together. There is no private communion, by the way. The communion table is a joint exercise. It's for us to bond together. So do not try to do it on your own. It's not meant for that. So when we do it, when the Lord says we do it, it's so that now the saints may get together and bond together. You know why I use that word bonding? It's because now you are what you eat. Whatever you ingest, you become. So what are we? What's happening in the Lord's table? We are taking what? The Lord's what? Body and blood. So if I am taking it in and I'm being filled with the Lord and you are being filled with the Lord, then now we become one. That's what bonding is. We become one because we're filled with the same stuff. But whenever I just ignore the fact that this transaction ought to take place together, whenever I remove the togetherness out of it, then the bonding falls, the bonding fails. Then it's not the kind of church that Jesus is building. And that's why, church, it's important for us to appreciate what the Lord has given us. There's supernatural power in the Lord's Supper. There is. And you find that the moment the churches that really, and I've observed it over my life, whether before I was a pastor or after, there is a particular vitality that takes place whenever the church partakes in the Lord's Supper. Spiritual vitality. There is alignment that takes place whenever the church partakes in the Lord's Supper. There, you know, we are vibrating, you know, the same sound. We're saying the same thing. We're seeing the same things together, because the Lord instituted this thing for us to come together. Let me add to this. There are very few things in life that involve all five senses. There are very few things in life that involve all five senses. Food is the only one that I will mention today. The other one, I don't need to mention it. But food involves your hearing. Can you hear the sizzling? Some of you see your mouth is already watering. I see that. You smell it. You see it. You taste it, and you touch it. The Lord is saying, your whole being is involved. And your brother, your sister's entire being is involved in that communion table. Because I am totally involved in the communion table. So you see, Jesus says, I've given my all. I've given my entire being in the communion table. Therefore, now I'm calling you to do the same. That's what creates the bonding among us. So when we gather together and we do this in the Lord's name, in remembrance of him, right? Then that bonding is formed. Then that building up continues. So that's the second thing that takes place. And I'm encouraging you to consider the Lord's Supper, the communion table, in light of that. Especially as the Lord has called us to become one body, one ministry, one entity, one church. We're united around one table. There's no two communion tables. There's one. And last time when I did communion last month, one thing the Lord puts on my heart was to tell you, we are all around the table. And it's the Lord's table. He invited us to his table. He's on the table. He's at the center of the table. We are around it. That's the Lord's table. That's the bonding. I get to sit next to you. You get to sit next to me. I get to enjoy your company. And I get to partake in the Lord. We get to partake together. Because whatever fills me, fills you. That's the bonding, church. That's the spiritual bond. Here's the third one. The third thing that takes place. So first was what? It was building. And I told you there were two aspects of building, was building of one another. Second, it was being built up. Second was bonding, spiritual transaction that takes place as a result of the Lord's Supper. But now here's a third one. The third one is bearing witness. You notice everything starts with a B.
I know.
Hmm? I'm so, yeah, I know. I was just thinking that. It's just so that it becomes memorable. It's building, bonding, and bearing witness. Here's the third point, is bearing witness. Look at what Paul says now happens when we get together. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 24, 25. But if so now this is again the context of us coming together. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Church, if the church gathers and people can say that God is really among us, perhaps we haven't gathered. The evidence of the Church of Jesus Christ coming together is so that those who don't yet know Jesus would fall down and worship and say that God is here. But do you notice how it says it? Paul is saying it's through prophesying. It's the forthtelling and the foretelling of the revelations of God. It's the spiritual transactions that take place. It's the very things that God gives that for some reason open people's hearts, you know, put out their secrets. You know, that's a real gift, by the way. Jesus exercised it with the woman at the well, where secrets are being laid bare. It may happen while I'm preaching, I say something, it's like, oh, wow, how did he know? I've gotten to those things before. I pray that they continue. Because the Lord is saying, this is one of the things that must happen when we gather together. And that, you know, this is something I'm actually encouraging you all to pray for this church, for what God is doing among us, so that when we get together, unbelievers come. You notice that? Unbelievers come. So which means the church is not a club with exclusive membership. The church is a gathering of God's people so that when they get together, the Spirit of God moves and they start prophesying. Those who don't yet know Jesus can come to know Jesus. That's what Paul is referring to here. We like to give membership cards to people, don't we? But membership is not enough. The gathering of the saints is what we are. The gathering of God's people is what we are. And when that happens, the Spirit of God moves. And when the Spirit of God moves, secrets are revealed. Secrets are revealed. And I'm praying, Lord, would you baptize us anew? Would you do this in our midst so that every time I preach or Pastor Stephen preaches, that hearts are laid bare? Lord, would you do that so that every time we gather together, somebody would sit next to someone and all suddenly the Holy Spirit would move and then you would whisper something in that person's ear regarding their life, something that the Lord told you about them that they didn't know that you knew and that you couldn't have known through natural means. Then they would say, the Lord is among these people. Glory be to God. That's the desire of my heart. That I hope you would desire the same thing. I pray you would desire the same thing. Because the Word of God says, well, these three things at least should take place when we gather together. There are other things. I just ran out of time. Well, it suffices to say there are three B's today. Maybe next time I'll give you three A's. I don't know. But for today, it suffices to say that when we get together, that we're getting the three transactions that take place, building, bonding, and bearing witness. When building is taking place, we are building one another up. The way we transact, the way we interact with each other, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, revelation, gratitude to God. But we're also being built up through the preaching of the word, the preaching of the word of God. But also we're bonding together in a very special way. By the way, the communion table is not just what we've come to make it in the Western world. It's clear that the passage we just read in 1 Corinthians, this must have been a meal, because Paul was saying that people were kind of, they ate too much or they drank too much. So it couldn't have been this. There's no way you and I could just eat too much of what Pastor Stephen will be giving in a few minutes. It was a meal. So which means, by the way, church, here's the good news. Every first Sunday, I believe, right? Every first Sunday, we do this right downstairs. So when we get together for that same purpose, the Lord is saying, do it in that same spirit. The bonding takes place. I am doing my work among you. And then the third B is, when we get together, we bear witness. We bear witness. People's secrets are laid bare, like the secrets of their hearts are laid bare through divine utterances, through revelatory gifts. And then in return, they can exclaim that the Lord is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. And he dwells among these people. Would you like to be the people of whom it is said that God dwells among you? I certainly want to be known as such person. Is your address the reference point for God? I'd like what God is making of us to have such an address. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you do. Thank you for the building, the bonding, and the bearing of witnesses that happens, Lord God, that takes place when we gather together. May you be exalted, Lord. May you be magnified. May you be glorified, both now and forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.